Welcome to Existence Moments in Time. Today we visit with the creator of gods, demigods, heroes, villains, and demons. And if your spidey sense isn't tingling, well, it may be clobbering time. I'm Andrew Hiller. Every country needs its legends, personifications to which we can affix our notions of right and wrong. America's Prometheus is a steel-driving man named John Henry. Paul Bunyan is our Hercules. But though Buffalo Bill and Jesse James got the world's attention and stirred up a heap of trouble, America's Olympus may have emerged when, in 1939, a young Stanley Martin Lieber entered the offices of Timely Comics.
When I got into comics, people hated comics so much. Most parents didn't want their kids to read them. I couldn't understand that. I thought comics were a good way to tell a story. At any rate, people disliked comics so much that I changed my name. I wrote under the name Stan Lee in case I ever wrote something meaningful.
Stan Lee admits his critics may have had a point. Early comics weren't exactly high literature.
I remember when I first came to work for this company, the publisher said, "Don't bother with characterization and involved plots. Just give me a lot of action. I want a lot of fight scenes."
Lee's publisher may have wanted strictly rough and tumble, but Lee built his own foundation on a field of greats.
I loved reading Edgar Allan Poe, but I read Mark Twain, I read Arthur Conan Doyle, Jules Verne, Charles Dickens, H.G. Wells, George Bernard Shaw. I read him. I read everything I could lay my hands on. I even read Shakespeare.
Stanley probably wouldn't claim to be the Shakespeare of our times, but he does think that over the decades, people's feelings about comics have improved.
Now, I'm very proud to be known as a comic book writer.
Lee says he never foresaw the success of his characters in movies, video games, and elsewhere, but he has been an advocate for the genre, lecturing in Italy, Germany, and campuses across the U.S.
And I'd speak at colleges and places, telling them that comics were really a good way to tell a story. You're seeing the action and you're reading the dialogue. Not much different from going to the theater and seeing a Shakespeare play. You hear the words and you're seeing the action.
He's not only an advocate, he's also a fierce defender of the grammar of comic books.
Oh, one thing that I'm going to mention parenthetically, the word comic book should never be written as two words. Because if it's written as two words, it means a funny book, a comic book. It should be one word, comic book. That makes it a unique type of literature.
One thing the inventor of Spider-Man, the Hulk, and Thor thinks people worry too much about these days is marketing. Writers, he says, need to write stories that are meaningful to them.
So many people try to write for other people. By that I mean, they'll say, "I think this story would be good for people from 25 to 30, or this would be good for somebody from 18 to 22, or whatever, or this will be good for people who like this type of thing." I never tried to write for any particular age group or social group. I always tried to write stories that I myself might enjoy reading, because I feel I'm not that unique. If there's a story I like, there must be millions of other people with similar tastes, and they'd like it too.
It's hard to get a writer to choose his favorite baby, especially when you've been father to hundreds of hit characters. But Lee does admit to a fondness for a certain ex-Herald of Galactus.
I think the Silver Surfer has been underrated. I think he's a great character. And the thing I like about him, I was always able to get a lot of bits of philosophy that he would utter. And they don't use him as much as I wish they would. He's one of my favorite characters.
Strangely, in September of 2001, Lee jumped ship. The famed writer for Marvel Comics took a brief swing writing for DC, penning tales of Superman, Batman, The Flash, and other DC heroes for a title called Just Imagine.
Well, as a matter of fact, it came about by somebody at DC asking me if I could do that. At first, I thought they were joking. But to tell you the truth, I didn't read much of the DC books. I can't think of a favorite.
Lee calls the Just Imagine series a fun experience, but says he's happiest in the universe he's created. Still, He's not a man to turn away an opportunity, even though he doesn't revel in the plaudits and laurels. In fact, he's always been one to share the credit.
I always wanted to put the credits down. I felt that it would be good to treat comics like movies. In a movie, you get the name of the director, the screenwriter, and all the other people, too. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun? Nobody ever gives the letterer credit. I'll have the letterers. I'll have the production people. I'll have the editor. Any name I could think of, I'll put in the credits.
Mind you, in comics, you can't take credit without a little ribbing.
But then it occurred to me, why not keep it friendly and funny and make it easier for the kids to remember? I'll give them all nicknames.
Still, if there's anyone Stanley needs to share credit with, it's Jack the King Kirby, Stan's longtime artist and collaborator.
Jack would have been one of the world's greatest film directors. He knew how to picture a scene and how to get the most drama out of an incident of any artist that I knew. The thing about Jack, whatever he tried to draw, if it was a man running or hitting another man or somebody looking surprised or frightened or whatever it was, once he drew it, you couldn't picture it any better, no matter what.
Kirby, Lee says, could see images on a page the way Michelangelo found shapes in marble.
His pencil strokes were so sharp and so definite, and he would never draw a line and then erase it and do it over again. It's as though it had been there before and he was simply tracing it, and it was perfect.
Today, when people think of Doctor Strange, the X-Men, or Iron Man, they don't think of four-color images, but IMAX screens. Lee has enjoyed watching the cinematic evolution of his characters, and even more, in joining them on screen. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he's become the Alfred Hitchcock of our time, and audiences often cheer and laugh to see Stan in one of his cameos.
My all-time favorite was the one where I was with Thor in a bar, and Thor was drinking a Norse drink, and I said, hey, let me have some. And he said, I couldn't drink it. It's too strong for a human being. And I said, nonsense, I could handle it. Anyway, he gave me a sip of his drink, and in the next scene, they were carrying me out.
As the movies continue, Lee's appearances have gotten more complex, and that's how Stan Lee likes it.
So now I'm shooting for cameos that have 3 scenes, 4 scenes. Eventually, I hope to be the co-star.
Today, the 94-year-old writer tours the country shaking hands of grateful fans at events like AwesomeCon. Is he still writing? Is he still creating? Why shouldn't he be?
I can't think of a proudest moment, really. There have been so many proud moments. Each day is exciting. Each day there's something new that comes along.
Flipping a page with a legend and a creator of gods. For Existence, Moments in Time, I'm Andrew Hiller. Thank you for listening to Existence, Moments in Time. To listen to other segments or to hear this one again, please go to existence.com. If you want to tell your own personal or family story, please contact us, or you can build your own on our site. Once again, for Existence, Moments in Time, I'm Andrew Hiller.